Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, so today we're jumping into something that feels, well, pretty huge right now. The world of large language models. I mean, there are just so many options popping up, it feels like daily.
It really does. It's a lot to keep track of.
Yeah, and if you're trying to actually build something, choosing the right LLM, that's a massive decision, isn't it?
Absolutely critical.
It impacts, you know, everything. Accuracy, how much it costs you, the overall performance. So our goal today, basically, is to try and simplify that choice a bit. How do you actually evaluate these things, and yeah, how can you use them in like real world work?
Exactly. And you know, it's easy to get lost in all the hype, the benchmarks, but honestly, the biggest thing is not just the numbers. It's always about the specific problem you're trying to solve.
Okay.
That's the starting point. And from there, you kind of hit this fundamental fork in the road.
Right.
You've got your proprietary models and GPT, the sauce ones, super easy to get started with, great for quick prototyping, you know, low barrier to entry, quick and easy. Then on the other side, you have the open source models like Llama, Mistral, those types.
Mm-hmm.
And with those, you get complete control, customization, flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
If you need something really tailored.
More work, but more control.
Precisely.
Yeah.
But no matter which way you lean, you're always juggling those core factors.
Yeah.
Performance, how fast it is, and, well, the price tag. Those are always in the mix.
Okay. So when I look at just the sheer number, it honestly feels like analysis paralysis. You know, where do you even begin, especially when everyone's shouting about different benchmarks? How do you cut through that?
That's a really common feeling. And benchmarks, yeah, they're part of the story, but not the whole thing. A good place to maybe get a bird's eye view is platforms like Artificial Analysis.
Okay.
They pull together data on tons of models, proprietary and open source. And what's interesting is you start seeing patterns pretty quickly.
Like what kind of patterns?
Well, generally speaking, higher intelligence. And they often measure this using tough benchmarks like MMLU Pro, which covers a lot of different subjects, that higher intelligence usually means a higher price. Makes sense.
Yeah, intuitively.
And conversely, the smaller models, usually faster, usually cheaper.
Uh-huh.
So the key takeaway there is really about matching the model's horsepower to what your task actually needs.
Mm.
If you're doing millions of calls for something pretty simple, you probably don't need that top-tier, super smart model. Mm. Paying for it would just be, well, a waste.
I can totally see that, especially the cost part. Why buy a Ferrari to like pick up groceries?
Exactly.
But okay, if benchmarks can sometimes be gamed, or maybe models get tuned specifically for them, how do you get a real sense of what's actually good in the wild?
That is such a crucial point. Because yeah, benchmark overfitting is a real thing. And that's where community-based evaluations become super valuable. Incredibly insightful, actually.
Community-based.
Yeah. So one of the most fascinating examples is the Chatbot Arena leaderboard. It's run by folks at UC Berkeley and ALM Arena. What they do is pretty clever. They collect blind user votes, like over a million of them now. People compare two anonymous models side by side and pick the better one.
Ah, okay. So it's like a preference score from real users.
Exactly. It's almost like a vibe score, you could say. It captures what the broader AI community feels is the best model for actual practical conversational use.
Hmm, interesting.
And this vibe correlates really well with things like reasoning, math, writing ability. It gets around that issue of models just gaming a static test.
So it's more holistic.
Very much so. You can even go on their site and pit two models against each other yourself with your own prompt.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like ask them both to write a customer response for a bank, but format it as JSON.
Mm.
Then you can see how, say, Granite 8 billion stacks up against Llama 8 billion side by side instantly.
Okay, I like that.
So the real insight is that these community scores give you a kind of truth check on how useful a model really is for conversation and reasoning, which raw benchmarks might miss.
That real-world feedback, yeah, that sounds super useful for just getting a general feel. But what about developers or teams who are specifically looking at open source, maybe for a very particular deployment? Well, is there a go-to resource for that?
Absolutely. If you're focused purely on open source foundation models or fine-tuned ones, then the OpenLLM leaderboard is pretty much indispensable.
Okay, OpenLLM leaderboard.
Yeah, hosted by Hugging Face. It gives you a whole range of metrics, but crucially, it has really powerful filters.
Filters like?
Like, say, you know, you need to run a model locally on your laptop,
hmm,
or maybe specifically on a certain type of GPU,
right,
or even for real-time stuff on a mobile device.
So hardware-specific.
Exactly. You can filter for those exact constraints. Makes it super easy to narrow down the options.
Right.
You select what you need, and boom, you see the models that fit. And often, it links you straight to the model on Hugging Face.
Ah, convenient.
Very. So for instance, that granite model we mentioned, it often ranks well there. You click it, and you're on its Hugging Face page, seeing how to actually get it running yourself.
Okay.
So the insight here is really that this leaderboard helps you find models specifically optimized for the hardware you're targeting. Very practical.
So, okay, we've talked about leaderboards, aggregate data, community vibes, but the real test, often, is when you move past that and start actually playing with these models yourself, right? In your own setup, with your own data.
Oh, absolutely. That's where the rubber meets the road, as they say.
Yeah.
Especially for organizations.
Right.
And for testing different models, different use cases, right on your own system. A really popular tool among developers is Ollama.
Ollama, okay.
Yeah, it's open source. It's basically a tool and a model repository that makes it easy to run all sorts of models, chat, vision, even those RAG embedding models locally.
On my own laptop.
Yep. On your Mac, Windows, Linux machine. Mm-hmm. You can pull down that Grant 3.1 model we just talked about. Ollama downloads it, often already quantized and optimized for local use.
Quantized meaning like shrunk down.
Exactly. Made smaller and more efficient to run locally without needing a massive server.
Got it.
And then you can just give it a quick test. You know, ask it to talk like a pirate or something simple just to make sure it's working.
Our matey. A good sanity check.
Precisely. But the bigger point is local testing with tools like Ollama, it's not just for fun. It's a crucial step for really validating how a model behaves with your specific data, your specific prompts, before you commit to a bigger, maybe more complex deployment. It's your sandbox.
Okay, talk like a pirate is fun, but once you've got it running locally, how do you actually start feeding it your stuff? Especially proprietary information. That's always the big hurdle for businesses, isn't it? Privacy, security.
That's exactly where something called Retrieval Augmented Generation, or RAG, becomes so powerful.
Yeah.
It's a game changer for using models with private data.
RAG. Okay, I've heard that term.
And you can use it locally. There are open source AI interfaces, like OpenWIV UI is a popular one.
OpenWIV UI.
Yeah. It basically acts as a front end. It lets you connect to a model running locally via Ollama, like our Granite example.
Uh-huh.
Or you could even connect it to a remote API model if you wanted. But the key is, it gives you an interface to interact with your chosen model.
So it's like a chat window, but powered by my local model.
Kind of, yeah, but more powerful. Mm. It lets you bring in your own data. You can upload documents, connect a web search, even build simple agentic applications.
Agentic meaning?
Yeah.
It can do stuff.
Yeah, AI systems that can break down goals into steps and act on them. But let's stick with the data example. Say you upload a file, maybe some internal enterprise data about, I don't know, Marty McFly's personnel file that the base model would never know about.
Okay, specific company info.
Right. Then you can ask the model a question about that document, like, what happened to Marty McFly in the 1955 accident, according to the claim file?
And because it has a document.
Yeah, exactly. Using an embedding model and a vector database behind the scenes, which tools like OpenWIV UI can manage for you, it finds the relevant info in your document.
Yeah.
And crucially, it often provides citations pointing back to the source material. So it's not just making something up. It's giving you a trustworthy source answer based on your data.
Wow. Okay. That's huge. Bringing your own secure data in and getting verifiable answers, that addresses a major enterprise concern.
It really does. Transforms it from a generative guess into something reliable.
So beyond just Q&A on documents, can these local models help with more active tasks, like, say, coding workflows?
Well, absolutely. This is another area seeing massive impact. Think about having a coding assistant right inside your IDE, your development environment.
Like Copilot, but maybe free or local.
Exactly. Traditionally, you might need a paid SaaS thing or a model specifically fine-tuned only for code.
Mm-hmm.
But newer general-purpose models are getting surprisingly good across different domains, including code in various languages.
Mm-hmm.
And there are great open-source extensions now. Like Continue is a really good one. Works with VS Code, IntelliJ.
Continue, okay.
Yeah. And lets you configure it to use a local model running with Ollama.
Ah, so it all connects.
It does. So now you can chat with your code base, ask the local model to explain a whole file, or even ask it to make edits for you.
Really? It can change the code.
Yep. You could highlight some code and say, you know, add Java comments describing the service. It'll generate the comments, insert them, and usually gives you a chance to approve or reject the changes.
That sounds incredibly useful.
It is. So the insight there is that these tools enable deep, privacy-preserving AI integration right into your core development workflow. You boost efficiency, but your code never has to leave your machine.
Right. The privacy angle again. Very important. Okay. So let's bring this together for you listening. We've covered a ton of ground here. You should now have a much clearer picture, hopefully, of the different ways you can evaluate and test LLMs, whether that's looking at those online leaderboards, the benchmarks, the community scores.
Or taking the reins yourself and actually running models locally on your own machine with your own data.
And just to really hammer it home, the right model always, always comes back to your specific use case. That's the anchor.
Always the use case.
Always. And what's really interesting now is that you don't necessarily have to pick just one model type. Hybrid approaches are becoming really effective.
Hybrid, like mixing and matching.
Exactly. You might use a big, powerful cloud model for some really complex, high-level thinking, but then use a smaller, super optimized model that runs directly on a device for a specific, maybe faster, lighter task.
Ah, okay. Best of both worlds, potentially.
Potentially, yeah. Designing a kind of multi-layered AI system that's smart and efficient.
It really does sound like it's all about thoughtful experimentation, understanding the landscape, figuring out what fits where.
That's the heart of it. Because once you've done that experimenting, once you really get a feel for the strengths and weaknesses in your context, that's when you can really start building something great with AI. So we'll leave you with this thought to chew on. Now that you have a better handle on how to choose and test these models, what problem are you working on right now? Or maybe how could you apply some of these ideas, these tools in your own projects to, you know, push things forward a bit? Definitely something to think about. We'll be back next time for another deep dive.